Salam Nerds is brought to you by HalalShirts.com, where you can find fun novelty gifts for your Muslim friends. While you're at it, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds! It's your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch with Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, a.k.a. Jazzrophone.
Jazzrophone. Okay, okay. Is it because you have a new microphone?
Yes, yes. I have a new microphone.
Finally!
So for those of you who don't know... So I got a cheap Craigslist $50 microphone, which wasn't a bad microphone, but it wasn't a professional one because I didn't really have a lot of faith in our podcast. I did not know we would go past 50 episodes. We are at like 57 episodes now, which is wild.
This is 58,
to me.
Right? This should be a 58.
This might be 58. So. This is our 58th episode. So I was like, you know what? Let's splurge. Let's get a nicer microphone and a little bit of a nicer setup. So we're moving up in the world, man. We're getting up there.
Speaking of moving up,
but listen,
who's our guest, man?
Yeah, let's talk about our guest. So this is somebody you might have seen in almost every single one of our episodes. You just didn't know it. There is a poster that I have in my background that says Zindan on it. And I have it in every single of my TikToks. I have it in like three places in my bedroom. I have all the comics. I never got a free comic. I paid for every single one. Even when they offer me free comics, I went ahead and paid for it because I believe in supporting brown artists. And this guy is one of the best. He is someone who's been putting in work. He's at every single New York Comic Con. They have the most extravagant setup. It's awesome. Welcome, Omar.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that introduction. And thank you for that years of support. I honestly appreciate it. I got to get you something for free. So I'm not going to let that go.
No. I don't want anything.
We buy things at retail price for our friends. Okay.
Actually, no, that's not true. You did give me the posters for free, but the comics I all paid for. The comics I paid for.
Good.
But yeah. No, man, it's cool. I love your comics. Tell people a little bit about what your comics are.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you guys for having me again for the second time, although I didn't show up for the first one, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you stood us up, man. You stood us up.
We had a good excuse. It's fine.
It reminds me of prom. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to me at prom.
Well, yeah, we might need to go into some therapy for that. But no, thank you. I've been doing an action fantasy series called Zindan, which, you know, you guys have so kindly been repping and supporting. It started actually right when Miss Marvel came out, like about the same time we both kind of dropped. Obviously, Miss Marvel, a massive success and a huge, you know, move forward for us. And at that time, I was feeling much... the same feelings that I think the creators of Miss Marvel were feeling, which was, you know, there's a real lack of representation from our neck of the woods. And so I said, what better time than to try to do this? And so me and Khurram, which you guys know, or who you know really well, put together this book, Zindan, and it's an action fantasy series based in the Mughal Empire. And it's... sort of an opportunity for us to really showcase our neck of the woods, like our part of the world. Something that's not very American-centric, not very Euro-centric, but kind of goes back to a time where, you know, you could say like our sort of like Renaissance period for like, you know, Muslim empires. And so for me, that was something that I started with. And then, you know, naturally, as I started working on comics, I kind of got the bug and I've been... you know, launching a couple other series since then. You guys probably are familiar with the one that's maybe the most successful so far, which is The Incapable Trump satire.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that. And then more recently, I've gotten into sort of like medical graphic medicine books, which are like medical education.
Oh, wow.
In comics. And so
I didn't know about.
That's what I've been doing. Yeah, that's what I've been doing last year. So definitely a lot to talk about. But yeah, excited to be here.
Cool.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Jeff, let me tell you about this Incapable Trump.
I know.
You have them, but you have not seen the line that's at Comic-Con. Like, it rounds the block. They have to, like, bring in security because the line for this comic is so long. Other people get annoyed. Other booths are like, people can't see our booth because the line for this one is so long. It's so huge.
That's amazing.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Like, oh, man. And I definitely wanted one of those, but I could not wait in that line. That line was too much for me. And I didn't want to, like, pull, like, hey, I know the guy and, like, cheat and get into the front. And I didn't want to be that guy. And, like, also, you know me. When I go to Comic-Con, I have to go to all the panels. So I could not wait in those lines. But, man, I was so proud of you guys.
Thank you.
You guys definitely do us proud. It's really, really cool. And I will support from day one all the way to day infinity.
Oh, for sure.
The day I die.
Like, 100%. This is one of my favorite comic series. I mean, Incapable Trump 2, but like Zindan, I mean, I have, these are like, I believe issues 0 and 1 and then 2 and something. I'm missing one because you're always sold out for some reason.
Hey, please, you know,
restock
what?
My guy.
I got you. I got you. Don't worry. Send me your address. I'll mail you them.
I'm buying it. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. And
don't worry about it. You can buy them later.
And I saw something about you have them now on Kindle or something now, or they're digital also now?
You know, the way that book started out was, it was really like, you know, 2016 hit, I think, was when Trump came into office. And I was just, as I think many of us were, very frustrated and confused. And, you know, that day we were all shocked.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, okay, you know, what do I do? And as a joke, you know, I made that first, that issue one cover, you know, the Incapable Trump.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a cool protest poster. And then from there, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'll buy that comic. And I was like, I didn't write a comic about this. I just made a poster. You know? and so then I was like, oh, crap, I better do this. And so I cranked out a comic. And each time we made the comics, it was really important for us to make sure that these were, at that time, really just like protest piece. So we didn't want to sell them. And as you guys know, that kind of built the sort of like mythology behind this book and created a lot of like the excitement. And so we gave out 200 copies, and that's it. Limited print run, no variants, none of that nonsense of reprints, like just straight 200
for
collectors. And we gave them all out. And so unfortunately, a lot of people missed.
And they're worth a lot.
Yeah.
They're worth a lot.
The
now.
eBay resale prices are actually insane.
Let's check right now. Let's check right now.
Insane.
The Incapable.
Last time I checked, I think I saw something around like 600 or 700. I don't know, but that was
holy
crazy.
Crap.
And that was like when it first came out.
Incapable Trump number 2, 2017, rated 9.8, $1,650.
Damn. So how does this work? Can you just like make your own and then just like print money? Like just keep printing more? How does it work?
You know,
that's just wild.
Say that my wife is always like, I'm going to just like print more and sell them on eBay and make money.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we're collectors at heart. Right. You know, and I don't know if you guys follow like the comics drama, but there's a big drama now at like that just happened at C2E2 where like one of these publishers created a variant, an unlicensed variant of the first appearance of Miles Morales, right?
Oh, no.
And basically printed them and like sold them to comic influencers and like created a whole bunch of like drama behind it. And so one of the complaints was like, these guys just keep printing this stuff and they give it to their friends. And so for us, it was very important that like we created that line, you know, which was a pain in the butt, but it was great for those collectors. And so, you know, we've always promised we're not going to reprint or, you know, create variants and stuff to like water down the collectability of the issues that you got.
Yeah.
So you get it. And I think that's what creates like the amazing resale value. But to answer your question about the Kindle
thing,
a lot of people missed out on the book, you know, and they were like, I just want to read it. I don't necessarily want to like collect it. So then we basically kind of reissued or bound the entire thing into hardcover, which is both available on Amazon and in Kindle. So if you want to read it as like a trade, you can get it. But, you know, the single issue, the floppies with the covers, which are not in the trade, are one and done.
Yeah.
Get it. Got it.
Oh, my God. I just found.
Yeah. So I have actually.
I found the first one on
eBay.
Have it. It's $2,650.
Wow. That is cool, man. Congratulations. Yeah. Man. Mashallah. Mashallah, brother. God. That is awesome.
It's $3,500 if you want to get both of them.
That's crazy.
No, it's nuts. I totally did not expect that. You know, I remember the first day we put those out. Like, I had to, just by chance, you know, you can put freebies on the, like, app for New York Comic Con. So, like, people who were scrolling through were like, oh, these are going to be all the freebies that you get at different booths. And so this was one of those things that I just kind of uploaded and thought, okay, nobody's going to look at this. And I kid you not, like, 9 a.m., the, you know, the con opens to the people with, like, the premium passes. And there's like six or seven people in my booth, and we hadn't even unpacked. You know, we came in DST. So like all our stuff's still like, you know, rolling in slowly. And everybody's like, where's the incapable Trump? And I'm like, yo, I haven't even opened the boxes yet. And there's like six or seven people like already. And then I was like, okay, this is legit. Mm-hmm. And I checked the next morning after we'd given out the first 50. And they were already all up on eBay, like $500-$600 a pop. And I was like, wow, okay, we're onto something. And it's been magic since. I mean, it's been really exciting.
Yeah, I found issue number 3 for 1,000.
That's cool, so, man.
Bro.
All right, we'll be here all day talking about this issue, but let's get to what we're really yes. here for. And that's for the new movie, Prey, which is a Predator prequel. And this movie blew me away. First of all, I didn't even know this was a Predator movie. Like, I was like, oh, cool. Like, there, I saw this indigenous girl. I saw the green paint, but you don't really notice the detail of like three dots in her eyes, which is like the reference to Predator. I did not know this was a Predator movie until like people started TikToking about it. Cause I'm like, if it's a Predator movie, it's going to be in theaters. It's not going to go straight to Hulu. Like, what kind of Predator movie would go straight to Hulu? But this did. And honestly, you actually messaged me while I was about to put it on. And it's so funny. I was like, that's so weird. That's why I was like, I got to have you on the podcast. That's like serendipitous. Overall, like, I don't know what to go about this like movie because it was so incredible and blew away all my expectations. Omar, tell us what you think.
Well, it's interesting you said that, like, you didn't know it was a Predator movie. And are we going full spoilers here or not?
We can, yeah.
Okay, we're going full spoilers. So everybody who's watching, if you haven't seen this now, don't want spoilers, turn this podcast off right now. This is your warning.
Your only warning.
Like the episode, but then come back after you watch it.
Exactly. It's funny because, like, you know, Dan Trachtenberg, who's the director, he, in some of his interviews, he was like, he didn't want to tell people this was a Predator movie at all till you watched it. So imagine going to the theater and thinking like, oh, we're watching some like indigenous movie. And then all of a sudden a Predator shows up in the movie. And you're like, wait, what? This is a Predator movie?
Oh, so it was by design.
His plan was not to tell anybody. Even in the trailer, he didn't want the three lasers. He wanted it to look like it was completely like a regular movie that had nothing to do with Predators.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think the studio was like, wait a minute. We're not going to like blow the opportunity to like advertise our franchise. You know what I mean? Like, so... And that's why the title has nothing to do with Predator in it. It's called Prey. So the trailer looks kind of, you're not sure until like they kind of obviously give it away. But he, in a lot of his interviews, he was like saying that his original plan was to just not tell anybody this was a Predator movie. So you're like, go to the movie thinking you're going to watch some like indigenous, you know, film and about hunting and a girl like kind of Mulan-ish. And then all of a sudden the Predator shows up in the movie and you're like, wait, what?
Oh,
so,
man, social media has ruined us because nothing can be kept secret. We can't keep the Spider-Man secret. We can't keep anything secret. It sucks.
I would have been blown away. I mean, I would have watched it even if I didn't know it was a Predator movie. But once I knew it was a Predator movie, I was like, definitely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I think the trailer dropped in like early summer. I'd heard whispers like there was a new Predator movie coming out. But I was like, okay, let me just see if there's a trailer for it. And I think it was right around maybe one of the early Comic Cons that they'd like premiered the trailer, and I saw it and I was like, yo, this is dope. Because immediately, if you look at the trailer, you get vibes of the original, which is kind of this like man versus beast, you know, or woman versus beast kind of vibe. And all the movies after that kind of lost that initial magic, which was just really pitting like one person against one predator, right? And it's really like a battle of, you know, obviously not strength, because there's no way that you're going to win that.
No.
Even with Arnold, right? But it's really about like the human spirit and the wit and stuff. And so seeing that in sort of teased in the trailer, you're like, okay, this is going to be good because they're going back to what like was the magic of the first movie. And I mean, that's exactly the way I felt about the movie. I was in love. I loved it. I thought it was really good.
I think it's really cool because like one of the things that makes people, you know, like really enjoy the movie, it's not the fact that like a person is strong enough to take on the predator, but there were remorse uh, not resourceful to take on the Predator, right? That's what they use. And that's like, that's the classic. That's what happened in Arnold Schwarzenegger. The entire team got destroyed. And the reason he made it is because he was able to use resources and put mud on himself and figure out, you know, how to outsmart this creature. And that's what happens in this movie. And I thought that was really
cool. I mean, Jazz, you nailed it, man. Like, the fact that she was able to use a flower to like hide her body temperature and like using her, the aliens, like, or the Predator's like laser tracking with the like essentially silver bullets to kill him. Like, this is straight up genius. Like, she learned this creature inside and out and figured out what its weaknesses were and then used other resources that we would never even think about. Like, there's no way I would ever think like, oh my God, that flower is the reason that they couldn't see him initially. Like, when in the beginning of the movie, when she gave the flower to, I believe it was her brother who got injured, right? And then he survived?
No, no, it was like a random person, but her and her brother went out to find him.
So that person who had the flower survived because of this. I didn't make that connection initially, but when I went back and saw him, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, they did this movie really well.
Yeah.
They did. They did. You know, did anybody watch the convention?
That's what I watched the second time.
Oh, I'm waiting to do that. I'm gonna watch that.
How was it, Jazz?
I needed subtitles, I'll tell you that much. But I don't know if they did a good job or not. Quite frankly, I don't know the language. But if it is true to the Comanche language, then yes, they did it really well.
So basically what they said is the Comanche dub is not them speaking English and then dubbing Comanche over it. Mm-hmm. They actually spoke in Comanche and then they dubbed it in Comanche to make it better, either for pronunciations or whatever. But it's not like it's not going to be like one of those Godzilla movies where they're moving their lips and they're saying something differently. It's actually going to it kind of matches.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you watch the interviews with the director, like, the intention for this movie was actually to be originally in Comanche. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no plan for an English version.
Good.
And I think after they tested with the studio, they decided like it would work better a little bit, or at least maybe more accessible to some audiences if they did it in English, so that way we understand the English parts. And you know, when they bring the French in, right, the French trappers, mm-hmm. and none of that's actually even subtitled in English, and you're supposed to not understand what they're saying, mm-hmm. because it gives you the experience from Naru's perspective, right, where she's like, I don't know what they're saying. So they really wanted you to kind of like get into her character, and so they felt like if it was Comanche, then we'd kind of feel distanced from her because of the language barrier, and then, you know, it just kind of would lose the vibe. So they made it English so that we could understand her but then feel lost when like the other characters are speaking,
because mm-hmm. obviously it's brilliant.
I was wondering why that was. I thought something was wrong with my subtitle. I paused it to check the settings.
They did that intentionally because they wanted you to feel what she would have felt if, like, there's these foreigners coming, invading your land, and you don't know what they're saying, right? Like, that kind of feeling of loss, being lost and confused and trying to make sense. So, I mean, I thought they did it was, like, genius the way that they did this film. There's a lot of really nice things. Like, you talked about the flower, right? And the flower is actually a really cool kind of, like, nod, but also original sort of thing in this movie compared to the original. You know when there's a scene where she falls in the mud in this movie, and it's kind of like immediately like, oh, she figured out to cloak herself with the mud. And then like 2 seconds later, it cuts and she's washing it off. And you're like, no, oh, you're going to get seen by the Predator.
Yeah. And
so like, you know, it's like a tease to say, okay, she's not going to just like basically repeat what Arnold did. But in this case, like, since it's 300 years before, you know, she's not going to like invent what Arnold did. So they changed it up so that it was a little bit fresh, right? So she wouldn't beat him in the exact same way that she beat him in the first movie, you know?
I thought she also died in the mud. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Like, she was like
she was really here
with mud. You know what? It reminded me of The Neverending Story. Has anyone seen that? Where, like, the horse gets
quicksand.
Stuck in the quicksand. Yeah. Has anyone seen that? Yeah. I was like, no. But speaking of the quicksand, what I like about this movie is they show like the human character and the difference between the Predator, because the human character learns from their mistakes, right? Like when she's hunting rabbits, she's like losing because like she has to go and grab her axe. So she creates a rope around her axe to make it faster. And you see like she comes to a problem and then she solves it. Same thing with the quicksand. Same thing with
the flower,
body
yeah.
temperature and how to and the flower and like the aiming of the stuff. Like she learns. She's very like intuitive and observant, right? And that's what makes her the better predator, hunter, yeah. You know, and yeah. not the prey. Yeah.
Who's the prey? Who's the hunter?
Exactly. yeah. That's cool.
I had to say it. We all were thinking exactly. it. I had to say it.
yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like,
it's really cool.
No, you go first, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Like, when this trailer came out, and even after, like, there was a lot of people who watched the film, they're always like, oh, how's this girl going to beat a predator, right? And, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, there's like, oh, this anti-woke, you know, troll sort of army that was really out against this film. And I think the reason they misunderstood this film or maybe just missed the point was that it was never about her being strong physically to beat the predator. Because even Arnold, in his, like, massive form at that time, did not beat the predator with his strength, right? And so, like, it's not like we're saying, oh, she's going to beat him because she's strong. Like, that's not the point, you know? But she did exactly what you're saying, which is she learned, she observed, and she used the sort of experiences that she had to help to, you know, develop like a technique or a plan to beat the predator. And I think that's the thing. Like, you don't need to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. And in fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't beat the predator being Arnold Schwarzenegger. He beat the predator being smarter.
Right.
He was smarter than a beaver. Correct.
Although then there's people who are like, well, how are you going to be smarter than an alien technology that like has spaceships and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, shut up. We're watching a film about a predator. Like, you have to suspend disbelief.
Yeah. Well, even then you have to know like this predator is like the first one that's ever been on Earth. So his technology is not even advanced.
Right. It's just 300 years ones, right? In the past. It's this is a year 1720 or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing I think that makes our species so great, it's like basically Darwinism, right? You have to adapt, right? And that's what she was doing. She was adapting. She was adapting, and that's what let her survive. And that's how we've survived on this planet. So it's one of the reasons, like, hey, we deserve to be here. This is why we survived on this planet. I don't even know if Predator has a planet. Does he have a planet?
I haven't seen the full series. I don't know.
Maybe if they adapted better, they wouldn't have.
I haven't seen the full series, so I don't know.
I don't. So I think there's like there's Predator 1, Predator 2, and I think there's like two Alien versus Predators, and I don't think they're canon. People have told me they're not canon, so I don't know if
yeah,
that really
I
counts.
Think just because the film's tanked. Otherwise, I mean, if they'd done really well, like they would have said, oh, this is canon, right? But I mean, obviously, nobody really liked those films. Although, I mean, they were fun. I enjoyed them when I watched them, but thinking back to it, it was not on this level. Like, this film really captured, I think, the essence of the, like, point of this whole film, right? I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, let's talk about like the cinematography. It was beautiful.
Oh, the cinematography.
It was gorgeous.
That was the part where I was like, this needed to be seen in a theater. Like, you told me, you were like, hey, watch this on the biggest screen you can.
I
like,
missed that the first time around. The second time I watched it on my TV, I'm like, oh, yeah, I missed this. Definitely watch it. No.
Don't watch this on your laptop. Don't watch it on your phone. Like, it needs to be experienced. It's really, really cool.
It was, I mean, the sets were gorgeous. Unfortunately, I had to have it on like really silent because the baby, but I heard the music was really good. So I'm going to go back and put the headphones on and watch it now, like full on. Cause I was basically watching it like so soft that I was only really reading the subtitles and like barely hearing it.
Yeah.
But everybody kept saying, oh, the music was incredible. Mm-hmm. So, I missed out on that.
Yeah. I really love the scene where like they hide in the fields from the predator, and like I was like the Bollywood in me was like, oh, I think I just see some BLJ, like what's going on here?
The dance number right about to happen.
Yeah, and the predator just guts you.
No, the predator comes down in a leather jacket with a banjo.
Yeah,
but that scene was cool too because like Naru, she was like, oh no, we don't have him, he has us, and then like she saves him. I was like, oh my god.
That was dope.
Yeah. She was always a great line. Yeah, there's so many good lines that she had. And her character was so awesome. I really loved her brother too, Tabe. Tabe was awesome.
Yeah, he was really good. Like, he held his own, and I really enjoyed that. But, like, I'm really glad that she got to be the hero because it is very much a David versus Goliath kind of story, right? And the fact that they have a girl do it gives it that much more of an interesting story. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And just, like, there's also so many, like, layers of commentary because, you know, they talk about how the indigenous people really got wiped out by these invaders, right? And in the movie, you see like the contrast between sort of like the French, as you know, who are basically just as alien to the natives as the, you know, predator is, right? And so in many ways, like, more ruthless and gruesome, because, like, you know that scene where she walks out and sees, like, all the buffalo,
yeah,
like,
they killed all of them. I was like,
yeah. And that was, like, the reality, right? Like, when the French and most of the Europeans came to the Americas, they, like, just basically just slaughtered everything in sight. And so you kind of see that. And there's, like, a really deep commentary there about, like, you know, the predator is really the beast or monster, but really is he? Like, at least he has some level of honor. Like, he doesn't kill things that are not like a threat and indiscriminately just destroy things.
Yeah.
And then here you have like the French just come in and like slaughtering the buffalo en masse. And so it was interesting. I think it was like, definitely think it was like an intentional juxtaposition of like the French and the predator and both like invading or coming to the land at the same time. And her basically seeing them all as the same sort of alien foreign invaders and treating them like the same. So I thought it was really, really awesome. Really well done. And awesome cast, dude. Like, all of them were amazing. Yeah,
they nailed the role. The dog, too. The dog was perfect.
Yeah.
When I first saw the movie, I had to go and look up, this is the dog guy. Like, because I cannot handle those movies.
Yeah. You know what's really cool? If you tweet or like talk about the movie and hashtag it, like the actors will actually reply to your comments and stuff.
Yeah,
I had a few of the actors
on Instagram.
I had a few of them. I had a few of them actually comment, and they were like, "Oh, I'm glad you liked the movie." And then I looked at them. This guy was in the movie.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so Dakota Beaver, I think,
the brother,
is the guy who plays Tava. Yeah, I was. Brother, I followed him on Instagram when he had like 2,000 followers, and he was replying to each comment. I was like, bro, you're going to get tired of this real quick when you're blowing up. I don't know where he's at right now, but he's probably like at 20, 30, 40,000 followers by now. And I was amazed. He was individually responding to everybody.
I hope they get more opportunities and stuff like that. I want to see more indigenous people on screen and stuff like that. I really tried to get an indigenous person on this podcast to join us, but a lot of them couldn't make it, unfortunately.
You should do another one.
We want to. Absolutely.
I really want to. But, like, the representation is still great. And I'm glad, like, Amber got her, like, moment, because she was so amazing. Great in Legion. I don't know if you guys ever seen the show Legion. Amazing show. She killed it in that show. Fantastic. So I'm really glad. I hope this opens up.
Like, it looks like, I mean, the responses have been amazing, right? Like, this is the number one, like, film streamed on Hulu. And, like, I mean, the social media response has been so strong. The Rotten Tomato score is like the highest of the whole franchise. So I'm certain like they're going to greenlight something with that. Like, if not a sequel, at least other movies.
You know what I think they should do? They should go like the Assassin's Creed route and make every new Predator movie set in a different era, right? Like, one could be set in the Mughal Empire era, right? Like, there could be a Predator in India, or they could be a Predator in Afghanistan during like the Russian invasion, or there could be one in feudal Japan with samurais. Like, you could have a Predator movie for every era, and it'll be fresh and like new. It'll be so cool to see all these cultures in a Predator setting. Like, this could go on forever. This could be a new franchise.
Go a step further. Make it the Assassin's Creed franchise. Because, honest to God, they're all there. They are there throughout all of history. And, like, you could actually have certain movies where the assassins do kill the Predator before major historical events. Like, this could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could, man. It could. I think that'd be really cool. The other thing I wanted to talk about was some of the callbacks to the other Predator movies. Because when you, you know that gun where she shoots the Predator?
Yep.
That gun is from Predator 2. And I thought that was really cool. And then they also show like a burnt cigar, and I think that's like a reference to like Schwarzenegger from Predator 1. So the callbacks were really cool. And then the line where she goes like, "If it bleeds, we can kill it." Yeah. Like, like, even though it's like its own thing, it was enough of a callback to make you really be like,
"I think
the
true fans
part
will see
that
and be like, yeah, this is definitely a Predator movie."
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, really good. And I think, you know, probably partly because everybody's expectations are so low. You know, you're like, okay, we've seen five Predator movies. Like, you know?
Movie to watch like on Sunday night or like Saturday night where nothing's going on. And,
yeah,
you know, cool little TV.
You know what's a?
But that's the best, man. When you don't expect, you come in blind. Like I went into Everything Everywhere All at Once blind, and I was like, "Whoa, this movie is amazing." And with like TikTok and social media, it's very hard to go into anything blind and not have something spoiled for you. It's really, really difficult. And this was one of the movies where I was like, wow, this,
you know, in that sense, like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why didn't they do this in theaters and stuff? But I think if they had done like the $20 million advertisements and blasting this everywhere, then people might, you know, be a little bit different in the way that they approach this. But I think people went in here with like a clean slate and just were like, all right, here's a movie on Hulu. Let's check it out. And then just was amazing, like standalone. I'm sure it would have done well with like a theatrical release, but I think there was something magical about just like going on Hulu, hitting this and be like, holy shit, this is good.
Yeah. It is the most streamed movie on Hulu, the highest rated Predator movie, and now Disney with Hulu included and has surpassed Netflix.
Wow. Yep.
Like their stock just 30%
gain
this week.
Yeah.
I have like 10 shares in Hulu.
No, I know.
Hey man, get us a Prey sequel. I'm
with
so
my
10
shares.
I'm signed up. Yeah, I'm signed up for at least 3 movies. Like I'll go in 3 movies at least.
Yeah, man. That's what we gotta do, man. Eat, pray, and love. The next one.
Oh my god, get out.
Julia Roberts fights the Predator.
That'd be wild.
That'll be the best.
But what do you think about what were your thoughts about the Predator design? A lot of people had mixed feelings. Like some people were like, I wanted the original Predator, and other people were like, no, this is a cool Predator.
No, I liked it. I liked it because like feral Predator, it works really well with the Native Americans. Like it just like goes well together with the two, and I feel like it was very like in tone with the movie. So I liked that a lot. I didn't want with the laser cannon, and like that would have been like too much. Like. The laser cannon and everything would have been way too much. The hard armor, all of that stuff would have been too much. And like people already find the story like hard to believe just because she's a girl. But if Predator had all this armor, that would have been like even worse for people.
No, I mean, the way she got the helmet off, I was like, oh, that's clever. But you're right, because like even that's also almost not believable because it's like something just moves the plot along, right? Like, what are the odds she was going to hit that exact angle perfectly like that? Like, you don't really think about that. I can see some people not believing that. So I'm glad they definitely made it just a helmet and not full armor. Because if they had the full armor, like, nobody would believe she was able to knock that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, when you look back at it now, like, with the lasers and, like, I was looking at the original Predator design and he had, like, leather gloves. I'm like, okay, this is an alien from, like, another... you know, planet, and for some reason they have leather designed armor. Like what? Like you know, they just decided they're gonna have like the same fashion sense as us, just a little bit. You know, so I was like, okay, I like that he was more stripped down, reptilian, and he looked like, you know, looked like something otherworldly and not just somebody who's like, you know, cosplaying a monster. Like the original Predator was cool, amazing design. When I look back at the armor and stuff, some of that stuff looks kind of crazy now. And so I like this feral Predator. It looks scarier. It looks like a, you know, a creature that's coming from another world. Yeah.
Like a monster.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know if you guys ever read into like the original Predator, but the first Predator was supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme. Actually, he was.
Mm-hmm. And, yes. Yep.
Yeah.
He was Jean-Claude Van Damme. And they replaced him.
And it looked like a giant anteater. It was like the ugliest, dumbest looking. Yeah, look at
it.
I'm sure this picture's floating around.
We're gonna put it onto YouTube as well once we post this live.
Yeah,
but that's funny.
Look at the original Predator, and it's just like, what? That movie would have not worked with the original Predator looking like
Jean-Claude.
Yeah, it looked like a Pokemon. Yeah, it was like a pink anteater.
What is this? Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really
bad. So they just like they fired him. He actually filmed scenes in the movie too because they thought like, all right, we're going to put this guy who's like karate guy against the, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then Jean-Claude goes on to become like a huge action star, you know? But it was like so awful.
Oh my God, this suit.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's ugly, right? It's terrible.
Like, I can see at the time why they would want to do it.
Like, I would want to kill it just for that.
Looking at it now, I'm just like, no way. They did not think this through.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even right, scary.
It's cuddly.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be its friend.
No. Yeah, like Barney.
And this is a challenge, like, when you're creating stuff like this, that, you know, creature design is like a whole field in itself. And Stan Winston is like one of the greats, and they were called in to do this. And you think about it, and you're like, if they hadn't designed the Predator the way that it was, like, it wouldn't have, the whole movie wouldn't have, you know, worked. It's like, it's the credit to like the creature designers and the character designers who like created this, that made this whole thing work. You know, when you look at the Predator, it's like terrifying with the dreads, the face mask. And then when you take that off and it's got the mandibles and stuff.
Yeah.
It's
the like, teeth, like, just, yeah, I was like, really scary. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I appreciated it.
Yeah. So. No, that's very cool, man. No, man. But overall, man, the movie was amazing. I loved it. Everyone should go check it out, watch it, you know, and then go follow some of the indigenous actors and stuff like that that are on the show. Support these movies. I love when, you know, you take a movie that's been done like 6-7 times and then you add indigenous characters in it. It makes it fresh, man. It's a whole new story, and it's like you're seeing it for the first time through different eyes and different perspectives, and it's really, really cool, and I hope we get to see that a lot more. Omar, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, look, the movie? You know, it's cool because originally when people saw this, they're like, oh, forced woke diversity and all that stuff, but if you watch this film, it's good. It's good. For many reasons, like the cinematography is beautiful, the actors did a great job, and I think they really captured the character so well. Like if you look at if you pull out the Predator and just take him out of this movie, I think it's still actually
yeah. You
very
could put a generic like
movie
with another grizzly bear there as something they're hunting, and it'd still be a great movie. You're right.
Yeah,
yeah, because she did a great job as a title character, and it's really about I saw this tweet. It's of course like a story about a girl and her dog, right? Like that's really the story, and it's like so nice, and the surprising amount of like acting that was done just through like expressions, because there's not a ton of dialogue in this movie. Like there's really not a lot of expose. Yeah. It's really her, and just like, you know, either learning things, observing things, and we would just watch her act through that. So, anyways, I thought it was a fantastic movie. I think it's great that we're getting these actors an opportunity. We should see more of them, and we need to tell the studios. As we've done with like Ms. Marvel, Black Panther, Crazy Rich Asians, that hey, there's an audience for this, there's a market for this, and if you give people the chance, people will come out and they'll support. And I think that, you know, I've been in love with this film. I've been like abusing the replay and like button and follow button because I want to get these guys and these girls opportunities, and I want them to have great successful careers and pay
ways for most people. Of our audience is either. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Girls from The Bachelorette or, you know, guys who are into nerd culture. It's up to us to actually retweet, like, and share these kinds of things, because if we don't, the studios won't see this. I mean, we did this whole push on Ms. Marvel. It's not because, you know, some people accuse me of, like, you know, being paid by them. It's not true at all. I mean, I do own Disney stock, but and I wish I was making a lot of money from it, but that's not even close to what it is. I did it because, like, it's important, and we need to do this, because if we don't do it, we're not going to get more of this stuff.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm enjoying this content. Like, there's no other motive here.
Yeah.
Like, it's great stuff.
I am too. I am too. It's a great feeling to see a group that's underrepresented get that moment in the sun. You know, we got to see Black people get it with Wakanda and Black Panther, and we got to see us get it in Ms. Marvel, and you know, the indigenous community got to see this, and hopefully the Latino community is going to go see it in Wakanda Forever. So hopefully, you know, everybody, when one of us wins, we all win. That's how it works.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's cool because to all the people who are like scared that, oh, this is just going to be like woke stuff and diversity shoved down your throat. It really isn't. Honestly, it's actually a really tastefully well done movie that just happens to do a great job of representing. And I think that that's the best. You know, I understand there's times where like sometimes you just feel like this stuff is getting forced on you. And you might say, well, you know, if it wasn't for all that, it's actually a really crappy movie underneath. But no, this is actually a really, really good movie.
Awesome. Well, listen, guys, that's all we have for today's episode. Omar, tell people where
they can find me on Instagram and Twitter. You can look me up, Omar F. Mirza. I'm sure you've probably tweeted me or
liked
me.
Oh, we will for sure do it.
Just Google and I'm sure you.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.